Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Three favorite words are breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's a spicy meatball!
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
I can't stop eating!
What did you eat?
I'm Jim Burns. Well, the documentary called Super Size Me gave us a glimpse of what it was like for one man to eat nothing but fast food for every meal for 30 days in a row. Well, that makes me wonder how many kids today would see nothing wrong with following that kind of diet, the Super Size Me diet. Well, they have little, if any, motivation to exercise either, and that's probably a big reason why the number of overweight kids continues to grow. Well, during the next half hour, Dr. Linda Mental will be my guest, and together we'll talk about help for parents of overweight kids. Now, it's going to be helpful and informative discussion, so keep it right here on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Childhood weight problems are now so prevalent that they're considered to be an epidemic. But you know what? There is great hope. And today we have Linda Mental with us. She is talking about help for parents of overweight kids. Dr. Linda Mental from Virginia has written 12 books on topics ranging from preventing teen violence to helping women break free from depression, anxiety, and eating disorders. Lots of great stuff. She's the co-author of Lose It for Life with Steve Arterburn. We're talking to her via phone. Linda, welcome to our program today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. It's good to be with you.
Well, I enjoyed so much Lose It for Life, and as I was talking to you beforehand, Steve's my good buddy, and I loved how you guys talked about a whole lifestyle when it comes to weight issues and even the spiritual side, and I appreciate so much you being on as we talk about really a major thing, overweight kids. I mean, we hear so many reports in the media that this new epidemic of overweight kids is such a big thing. Is it as big of a problem as the media is saying it is?
It really is. This is not media hype. When you look at the statistics, some of them say as high as 1 in 3 kids. Other statistics say as high as 1 in 5 children are overweight. And when you think about that, that's a lot of kids in America. Now, one of the difficulties, though, I want to say, though, is because there are so many kids who are overweight, sometimes it's really hard for a parent to judge whether or not their child is overweight because they're looking at all these other kids and thinking, well, my kid doesn't look that bad.
Well, how do you determine if your kid is overweight?
Well, you know, the old way of just looking at a child and deciding isn't working so well because of what I just said, because so many kids are that the overweight kid looks like the normal weight kid today. A better way to judge this is to really look at some of the charts that pediatricians use. One is the growth chart that most parents are familiar with, where you go in and you plot the kid's weight on a growth chart, and if it is about 85th percentile or above, then your child usually has some problems. And the growth charts that the pediatricians are using more today, there's charts called the BMI charts, the body mass index charts that they use. And the same thing, you plot it, it takes into account their age and their gender, and then if the child falls within the 85th percentile or above, then you know your child is in trouble.
Well, that's important. It's important for parents to know that. Now, when you've been doing this for 25 plus years,
in terms I'm that old, yes.
And you don't look that old, I'm telling you. So I'm glad that you became a PhD expert when you were 13.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
But you've specialized in this treatment of families with weight and food problems for all this time. Has it changed? Have you seen great changes in probably a negative way?
That's a great question because it really has changed. The biggest change that I've seen over the 20 years is that the age range of children struggling with their weight is getting younger and younger. When we're talking about anorexia and bulimia, we've got 9-year-olds who are dieting. It used to be years ago that the youngest child I would see in therapy would be about 13 or 14. And today, it's not uncommon to have an 8- or 9-year-old in there who's obsessing on their body, you know, to a point where it's becoming problematic. And younger kids gaining a lot of weight. One of the statistics that's a little frightening has to do with kids that are under the age of 5. And those kids, about 20% of those kids are now diagnosed as obese. That's a big change from what we saw years ago.
That is absolutely incredible. Now, who's to blame?
Well, you can't point your finger at one person, although I know we like to do that in America. But there really are a lot of factors involved. Probably one of the obvious ones to most parents is the change in our food. we're eating a whole lot more fast food than we did years ago. The other big change is in the food. We have a lot of trans fat that's gone into our food that we didn't have years ago. And this is an ingredient that's been added to food to make it stay longer on the shelf, to give it a creamier texture, to, you know, just taste better. And it was interesting, when I was doing the research for this book, there was a Harvard scientist who said that trans fat is probably the worst dietary thing that's been added in the American diet in a number of years, that it's actually a deadly thing. And there's a lot of talk about that right now in the news, about having to label the trans fat, trying to take it out. Oreos is working on a cookie that's coming out soon that doesn't have the trans fat in it anymore. So the fast food, the kind of food that we're eating, has dramatically changed.
That seems to be very, very important. One of the things I know that you have a top 10 reasons why kids become overweight. I appreciate it so much. One was, you said there are just too many empty calorie foods, too,
right,
that they're eating.
And that's fast food, again. If you think about it, you're getting lots of high fat, lots of calories, and very little nutrition in that food.
Now, kids seem to be less physically active than they were a generation ago. Am I just thinking that, or is that actually a fact?
That's actually probably the second biggest change that we've seen over the past 20 years. And again, you know, I hate to keep using my own life, but it's relevant here. You know, 40 years ago, probably, when I was a child playing, we were outside all the time. We were, you know, playing kick the can. We were in the neighborhood. We were riding bikes. We were roller skating. Today, kids sit in front of media most of the time when they're in the home. They're in front of some kind of a screen, whether it's a computer, you know, a television set, a Game Boy, iPod. Now we have video iPods and video cell phones. Kids are just consuming so much media that it's really making a change in the amount of activity that they're getting. Things where they're just sitting and doing nothing, that adds up to extra pounds.
Now, Kathy and I and my three daughters, we went on a great vacation, and we looked at a family, and the dad was a little bit overweight, the mom was very overweight, and they had three kids, and they were all overweight. How much does family history play in the battle to control weight and eating habits and things?
You know, it's there, and it's something that we have to recognize. We all inherit a genetic predisposition to a lot of different things, and weight is one of those things. So if you have a parent who's overweight, your percentage chance of being overweight goes way up. If you have both parents overweight, the percentage is like 80% that you will probably become overweight if you don't do anything about it. You know, this is kind of like the chicken and egg argument. Is it because we have this genetic predisposition to gain weight that we gain it, or is it because our parents are eating wrong or incorrectly or not exercising and are gaining weight and we're learning those bad habits? You know, it's a little bit of both. If you've got the predisposition and then you're doing unhealthy kinds of eating and you're not exercising and you're not moving much, chances are you're going to teach your kids to do the same, and they'll become overweight as well.
But at the same time, if you see this, if you have a parent who's overweight or both parents who are overweight, and maybe you have a predisposition that way, but you learn how to eat healthy and how to exercise more often, what you're saying is there's great hope. You don't have to go that direction.
That's right. And one of the things that I've heard from parents when I've been talking about this book in the communities that I've been in is that they feel so guilty and so failed that they don't have their weight under control. And so they say to me, you know, how can I make these changes with my child when I'm not even doing them myself? And I tell them, you know, this isn't just something to do with your child. This is a family affair. You can all get on this same bandwagon, and you can make the changes, and you can do it one step at a time with your kids. So you don't have to be at a perfect weight in order to, you know, develop healthy habits in your kids. You just say to your kids, look, we all have a problem with this. We're all going to start working on this, and we're going to all start being healthy and fit, and that's going to be our focus, and here are some changes we're going to start to make.
That really is great advice. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I want to talk about emotional eating.
Boy, that is a big thing for parents to deal with, especially if you have kids. And we may be emotional eaters too, and we don't even think about the standard that we're setting for our children as well. Good conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. You are listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today's program centers on help for parents of overweight kids, and Linda Mintel is our guest. She's an expert in this area. Linda was very, very instrumental in putting together the curriculum that became Lose It for Life with Steve Arterburn, and that's how we first got to know Linda's work. And we're grateful to have her expertise speaking into this growing epidemic of childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes showing up in teenagers. It's just really at epidemic levels. And as we continue, in just a moment, you're going to hear the conclusion of today's edition of the program on help for parents of overweight kids.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Lose 25 pounds in just 3 days.
The all-natural doctor-recommended gravel diet will help you grind the pounds away while you sleep.
Eat all the fat your arteries can handle and still lose weight.
Money-back guarantee if you don't lose 100 pounds or more on the all-new Miracle Kelp Clean-Out Diet.
I'm so fat. One of those has to work for me. Mom, I need your credit card.
Two things are happening in the culture that should be alarming to parents. The first is the increasing number of kids struggling with childhood obesity. The second is the number of teenagers who are starving themselves to death. If your child is severely overweight, never let your son or your daughter go on a diet unless it's under doctor supervision. There are just too many get-thin-quick diets that are dangerous for young people. Eating disorders are a lot more common than you might think among today's young people. For my free tip sheet called Helping an Overweight Child, go to homeward.com. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Linda Mental with us today, Help for Parents of Overweight Kids. She's written a great book on this, and a person who absolutely understands even the emotional eating issues of children as well as adults. And Linda, we were talking about this right before the break. I brought it up. Emotional eating seems to be another real challenge for children. Actually, it's a challenge for me. Give us some insight on this.
I think that's a great beginning, because it is a challenge for most adults. When I was in practice and just working a lot with overweight adults, you know, I kept getting people to understand the healthy food choices and to know that they needed to exercise. But there was something that was blocking people from actually doing it, and it was always related to this emotional side of their life. When they're bored, when they're tense, when they're stressed, when they're depressed, when they're happy. Food becomes one of those things that we use to comfort or to calm ourselves down and to soothe our lives. And we live in such a stressful time that kids also feel the stress. And kids are worried about a lot of things today. They're worried about terrorist attacks. They're worried about divorce and families. They're worried about schoolwork and peer pressure and trying to make it to college and competing in the world and all the different things that kids have to think about. And kids are no different than adults. When they get stressed, you know, hopefully they're not going to the corner and scoring cocaine. They're opening the pantry and they're grabbing the cookies, and they're soothing themselves that way with food. And so one of the challenges for both adults and children is that we have to teach ourselves ways to cope with the stress, cope with the anxieties and the uncertainties of our world that doesn't use food to numb out those feelings.
When you see a child who's doing that, you see a child who, you know, they get under stress, whatever it may be, and the chocolate chip cookies come out, instead of one delightful chocolate chip cookie, the whole bag is gone. How do you help them without saying, don't do that, you're going to get fat? I mean, what do you do?
You know, what you do is very similar to what I do with adults. I simply, at that time, if I saw my child doing that, I would say, hey, are you really hungry right now, or are you feeling something else? And then when you're a parent of a kid or a teenager, a lot of times you have to give them a little help. You have to prompt them a little bit more than you do adults, because they don't just have these great insights as they're walking through the day. And so you might have to say, you know, I noticed that your friend called and you got really upset on the phone, and now I notice that you're in the kitchen. Are you upset? Is that why you're eating right now, or are you really hungry? Because if you're really hungry, that's fine. We can make a snack, and that's great. But if there's something else going on, maybe we could talk about that.
You know, I've done that with my kids, conversations like that, and they go, Dad, right now... it's not that deep. I just wanted a cookie.
Right. Just imagine being having a parent who's a psychologist.
Sure.
You know, they're always looking at me going, no, same thing. No, I just want to do this right now.
Yeah, exactly. This is not the time to psychoanalyze. But what you're saying is that when you begin to see patterns in a kid's life, then you want to be able to help them understand those patterns, because in many ways it's like the stop sign. It's a red light or at least a caution light for them. You got to train them for the rest of their life in many ways.
You're just getting them to understand the triggers. It's like, and that's going to be a helpful skill that they're going to have when they get older, where you're just having them stop and think for a minute, am I really hungry? You know, one of the difficulties, again, in losing weight is that we've kind of forgotten what real physical hunger feels like versus what I call emotional hunger. We know the symptoms of being physically hungry, although most people in America are not that hungry that often. But, you know, your stomach is growling, you feel kind of lightheaded, you feel like you've got to get something in your stomach right away. And whatever it is, it doesn't matter, it'll fill you up. Emotional hunger is something where you have a craving for something typically. You're not having those physical symptoms, you're just kind of obsessed with getting a food and getting it now, and it's meeting an emotional need. And so many of us have to learn the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger. And so one of the best things you can do is just to teach your child that real early on. And when they're eating, like one of the things I noticed when my daughter was a little bit smaller is that she would have a food that she would love, like mashed potatoes and gravy. And so she would, you know, want two or three helpings of it. And I would say to her, honey, it's okay. Just eat one helping now. It's going to be there. You can have it. We're going to put it in the refrigerator. It's going to be there for the next meal. And if you're hungry for it again, we can have it. And kind of knowing that it wasn't going away and that she was going to get it again, which is something kids have trouble with. They have trouble with that time frame when they're younger because of developmental stuff.
And that's a great point for all of us. I mean, it's okay probably at Thanksgiving if you want that extra helping, but you've got to learn how to do this. Last night, Kathy and I were on our date night, and so we went out to an Italian restaurant, and we both ordered pasta. And so as we were talking, I ate almost all of the pasta. And then I looked up and I said, you know what? I really didn't need to eat all that pasta. Mm-hmm. And as she has taken it in half, put it over on the side, and then kind of split it up, and I think she ate about a quarter of it and took the rest home. And she said to me, well, you know, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to sound like I was nagging because I just saw you down in that pasta. And, you know, again, it's not that, you know, I'm walking around all that overweight, but the fact of the matter is I just did it. I didn't think.
And the fact that the portions are so big, that's another one of the problems, that the portions we get in restaurants and at meals are so huge that when it's right there in front of you, you don't think, and you just eat it because it's there.
Now, would it be nagging or an issue? Like I thought to Kathy, I wish she would have said to me, hey, why don't you just take half of that? It wouldn't have been a nag. She might not have said that because she didn't want to. But as a parent, do you ever, you know, in these big portions, would it be wise to say, hey, why don't you take some of this home and even cut it up for a younger child?
It wouldn't be a problem to say something like that or just to say, hey, this is a really big portion. You know what? Just eat until you're full, and then we'll take the rest home. And that's a great message to give a kid, that you don't have to eat what is right there. That's a real shift from a few generations ago. You know, a lot of us grew up in the clean your plate club, where you got to eat everything on your plate because these starving people in Africa are. So some of us have to change our mentality that you don't have to clean your plate. And, you know, if you have small kids and you're listening, you know that they rarely eat everything that's on their plate when they're toddlers. They'll pick and they'll eat a little bit here, you know, and we need to continue to train that stop when you're full.
Where does faith come into trying to work on your holistic weight physical issues?
Well, the first thing is you have to recognize that you're made in the image of God. And so when you're teaching a child, you know, who they are, it's just an essential lesson to help them from the very beginning understand that you are a reflection of God. You're made in His image. You reflect His glory. He designed you this way for a purpose. You're individual. You're unique. And to reinforce that message in a child's life over and over through the whole perspective of God accepts you unconditionally. He loves you. He's not looking at your weight to decide if He's going to love you more. He just loves you the way He made you. That lesson, if we could get that across in childhood, would help a lot of us in our adult lives as well. But we get so caught up in the cultural prescriptions that are given that say, you know, you are what you weigh, or, you know, you're comparing yourself to this person and that person, and you start to look away from God and you look to what the culture is saying, we start to get in trouble.
Oh, exactly. We had a situation in our family where a young woman who we didn't know very well, but she was a part of the high school, one of the programs that our kids were involved in. At 16, her parents let her have a breast enhancement at age 16. And so the girls were kind of having this conversation. So, you know, I plop in the middle of it and I just said, does anybody see this as, you know, like kind of scary? Well, half of the kids didn't at all. They thought it was neat and wished their parents would have done that.
That I deal with that in the new book, Making Peace with Your Thighs. There's actually a chapter on breasts called What Would Barbie Do? Instead of What Would Jesus Do? Right. And it cites a lot of those teenagers getting breast implants, and it is becoming just sort of a commonplace thing. But the subtle message underneath that is that something is wrong and that it needs to be fixed, it needs to be improved, it needs to be repaired. And so the message we want to give to kids is that there's nothing wrong with who you are. You are God's great delight. You are His cherished one. He knows every hair on your head. He made you this way. He doesn't make mistakes in His design. And so to feel this pressure from the culture that you always have to be changing and molding yourself differently, improving, repairing, fixing, you know, that's just part of the money-making machine of the diet industry and the fashion industry and the weight industry. And so we've got to get away from that, and we've got to teach kids and give them a really good grounding on who they are. The other piece that I think is really important in terms of faith is that when you're an overweight kid, you're going to get teased. Mm-hmm. and you're going to feel rejected, and you're going to be isolated at the playground, and all kinds of things will happen in your life. And that isn't fair. And so one of the things I help parents with is teaching your child how to forgive other people. And when people say things that hurt, and when people say things that are cruel and rude, that the thing that you have control over is to forgive that person and not let that thing fester in your spirit. And so at an early age, I'm always teaching my children, you don't have any control over what other people do. You only have control over your response. And so that response needs to be Christ-like in everything we do. And this is a really hard thing to do. You know, this is that Matthew 5:44 verse that says, you know, love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you, bless those who curse you. You know, this is not the natural state of man.
Right.
Is to love your enemy and to bless those who curse you. But we have to teach kids and teenagers, and I have to teach this to adults as well. I had to learn this lesson that no matter what is done to us, the control I have is over how I respond, and that's going to be the thing that I'm going to be responsible to God for someday.
Well, that is great input. Linda, I've got to ask you if you can come back next time so we can continue this great conversation.
I'd love to come back. It's a great topic. I think it's important for everyone to hear.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Linda Mintel here on the Homeward Broadcast. Help for Parents of Overweight Kids is our theme, and this actually launches about a four-part series here that we're doing here on the Homeward Broadcast. If you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, you'll hear programs centering on weight issues and health with your kids all throughout the rest of this week. If you're podcasting, those programs are already up, and you can start your free podcast subscription today. Go to homeward.com, hit the podcast button, and start getting our program absolutely free via podcasting.
Today on Homeward, we've been talking about help for parents of overweight kids. My thanks to Dr. Linda Mintel for being my guest on today's program, and I'm going to look forward very much to continuing this conversation with her on the next broadcast. Well, as we conclude today's edition of Homeward, I'm going to leave you with a couple of thoughts about physical fitness, emotional fitness, relational and spiritual fitness, because I really think it blends together. Now, here's what I want you to do. Write down the words physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual. And then what I'd like you to do is put one goal for you and one goal for your family. Okay, because notice I said one goal for you as well. So I think it starts with us. Children see, children do. When it comes to the physical benefits, the physical aspect, I'll tell you what Kathy and I are doing. We're trying to walk together more often. Now, we go to the gym, we do certain things, but for us, we're finding it's a good thing for us to do, to walk regularly. It actually benefits our emotional and our relational as well. Secondly, emotional. Now, for our family, that means that we need to just laugh more often. And the emotional benefits of our family means that we have to do some family fun times. And that both works in the emotional side as well as the relational side. Doing things on our kids' territory, not just necessarily on our territory. One of our daughters would like to go to a basketball game. Fantastic. We go to the basketball game, and then afterwards, we build on the relationship because then we eat yogurt and talk and laugh as a family. It's very, very important. Lastly is the spiritual side. I think it's important that we as a family have family times. You call them family devotions, and sometimes your kids will think it's boring, but really what we're trying to do here is build spiritually into the life of their kids. Here's what I just did with our family, and I realize every family can't do this, but I handed my kids $100 and said, this is your kingdom assignment. For the next week, I want you to pray about it. This is money that is really God's money. It's money that we have intended to give to the Lord, and I want you to think and pray about how you want to give that away. And then they came back a week later and told me what they wanted to do. And frankly, it was incredibly inspirational. So, you know, we're working on the family spiritual side as well. Well, anyway, get busy. Start a goal for yourself and for your family. Keep it short and simple. Make it work. And you'll be on your way. Now, Roger, this does deal with the area of our overweight. And I think that when we're more balanced, it helps us make good decisions about our body as well. And I know we have a couple of resources on the topic that Linda and I talked about today that will be helpful.
Absolutely, Jim. First order of business is go to homeward.com and hit the articles and media tab. And when you do, just type in overweight kids in the search there. It says get answers. Overweight kids, you're going to find a plethora of material for you that's available to you. And you'll want to take better care of yourself. And you can set the tone for your kids as well. Also, take a look at Dr. Jim Burns' book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. There's a chapter in that book on family playtime. And I'll tell you what, family playtime, where you put the remote down, get the gaming devices unplugged, and actually get out and start moving, start walking, start exercising, find something that's important to do. You'll give something other than your thumb a workout. That's so important. You can order a copy of 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds go to support the Ministry of Homeward as well. We appreciate that support. More information on that at homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.